Amen. Well, if you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, let me encourage you to hold it up right now and repeat after me what we believe about this book. This is God's Word. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. It is the supreme source of truth for what we believe and how we live. Now turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. I grew up watching the movie, The Ten Commandments. It came on every year around Easter time, and that was a family tradition we had during the Easter season to watch that movie, The Ten Commandments. My kids grew up watching the animated movie, The Prince of Egypt. Both of those movies tell the story of Moses, how he was born into slavery, how he became a member of Pharaoh's family, and how he eventually was used by God to lead the Hebrews out of slavery into the Promised Land. Without a doubt, Moses is one of the most well-known people in the Bible. He is mentioned 848 times in 31 different books of the Bible. He is credited with writing the first five books of the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. His story begins in Exodus chapter 2 with his birth, and it ends in Deuteronomy chapter 34 when he dies. This is what the Bible says about Moses. It says he was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever. I want to age like Noah, amen, or Moses, don't you? You don't want to? Man, I do. We are told that the Lord himself buried him. No one knows the place that Moses was buried. We are told in the Bible that there has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses who knew the Lord face to face. It is obvious that Moses had a special relationship with God, and God used Moses in a special way. But what was it about Moses that calls God to use him the way he did? I think there are a number of things that we can see in Scripture about Moses that caused him to be used by God, but I believe one of those things is his faith. And we read Moses' faith story in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. And so if your Bibles are open to that passage, I want you to follow along as I read. It says it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. And it was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. Now, in these verses, the author of Hebrews gives us a snapshot of 80 years of Moses' life, and he teaches us some incredible truths about faith. The first truth is this: our faith often begins with our parents. I want you to notice what it says in verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents. You see, Moses' story did not begin with Moses, but rather with Moses' parents, and I imagine most of us experience the same thing. You see, our faith is often passed down to us from our parents. Parents, I want you to listen very carefully. There are a number of people that God can use to influence the life of your children. They can use a pastor or a teacher, a coach, or a godly neighbor or friend. But God has given you the responsibility to bring your children to faith and to lead them to grow in their faith. Later on, Moses would write these words. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Never forget these commands that I'm giving you. And then he said this. He said, teach them to your children. Repeat them when you are at home, when you are away, when you're resting, when you're working. Tie them on your arms. Wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your houses and on your gates. Parents, we have been given not only a tremendous privilege, but an awesome responsibility to pass our faith down to our children and to our children's children. Now, in case you don't know the story, let me review for you. Through a series of evil events, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers into Egypt. But while he was in slavery in Egypt, God used him to do an amazing thing for the people of Egypt. He literally rescued the people of Egypt from a famine, and because of that, he became the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. Joseph moved his family to Egypt where he was living, and the Hebrews, the Israelites, were special people in Egypt for a long time. But the Bible says after a while, a Pharaoh came to power who knew not Joseph or the things that Joseph had done for the Egyptians. And because the Hebrews were multiplying and they were becoming powerful, the Pharaoh became frightened by them and they enslaved the Hebrews. But they continued to multiply because God was blessing them. So the Pharaoh issued a command that all the Hebrew boys would be put to death. But the Bible tells us that the Egyptian midwives feared God, and they would not kill the Hebrew boys. And because of that, Pharaoh issued a decree. He issued a command that all the people would gather the Hebrew boys, and they would kill them by throwing them into the Nile. And when they were thrown into the Nile, they would either drown or they would be eaten by crocodiles. But there was one family, one couple, that chose to disobey the king's command. Their names were Amram and Jochebed. The Bible tells us that they did not fear the king's command. And they decided that they were not going to put their child in the Nile to be killed, to die. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I believe with all my heart that today many parents are doing what these Hebrew parents did back in Moses' day. Because we fear the king's command, we are giving our children up to the gods of this world. We have caved in to the cultural and social norms of our day, reasoning that we can't fight it. We can't change it. We must simply accept it, go with the flow, and do the best we can. And I'm afraid because of that, we are no different than these Hebrew parents who threw their children into the Nile to be drowned or to be eaten by crocodiles. We say that we have no choice, but we do have a choice. We always have a choice. Parents, we can stand up. We can speak out. We can refuse to go along with what we know is not best for our children. Will there be a cost? There probably will, but will it be worth it for you and your children? Absolutely, it will be worth it. I want you to understand, parents, your primary desire for your children shouldn't be popularity. It shouldn't be academic or athletic success or even happiness. Your primary desire for your children should be holiness, that they seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness above anything and everything else. If you raise your children loving Jesus passionately because of the choices you have made, because of the sacrifices that you make, you will have been a success. And so I beg you, don't look back and wish that you had done things differently because your children grow up and leave the Lord and leave His church. Make the right decisions now. If you're not putting the Lord first in your life, your children are going to see that, and they're not going to put the Lord first in their life. By the way, your children can't love the Lord without loving the church. The Bible tells us that Jesus loves the church, and He gave His life for it. The church is the bride of Christ. And Jesus likes, he loves his bride. And you and I, as his people, are called to love the bride as well. Now, eventually, they did. Amram and Jochebed did put Noah in the Nile. But they put him in a small boat to protect him from drowning. We're not told why they eventually put him in the Nile. Maybe it was because his crying became too loud that they could no longer hide him. Maybe it was because a parent who had thrown their child into the Nile had heard about Amram and Jochebed and how they had kept Moses, and they turned them in, so they knew they had to hide Moses somewhere else. So they built this small boat so that he wouldn't drown. They put Moses in this boat, and they strategically put him in the Nile at a place where Pharaoh's daughter bathed. And I believe then they prayed. They prayed for God's protection upon their child. They prayed that God's will would be done in his life. And God did move. God did intervene. Moses was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, and she adopted him as her own. And then, to add blessing to blessing, Moses' mother gets to pay to raise Moses as her own child. Can you imagine that? Moses is adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, but then Moses' real mother gets paid to raise him, to feed him, to take care of him. And so Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. And I believe that his mother evidently continued to pour God's word into his life every chance she had. She undoubtedly told him about the one true God. She must have told him about the circumstances surrounding his birth and how God had faithfully delivered him. She probably told him how the Hebrews were God's chosen people. As Moses grew older, the Bible tells us that he was trained in the best schools of Egypt. And he learned everything that Egypt had to offer. In Acts chapter 7, verse 22, it says, Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptian, and he was powerful in both speech and action. I imagine Amram and Jochebed's hearts ached as they watched Moses being drawn into the ways of Egypt. But I'm confident that they never stopped praying for Moses, praying that Moses would fulfill his God-given purpose. And obviously their prayers worked, because the next verse, verse 24, fast forwards 40 years, and in that verse we see the next truth about faith. Our faith causes us to reject the pleasures of the world and choose the reproach of Christ. That phrase in verse 24, when he grew up, it's literally when he became great. Many scholars believe that Moses was next in line to become Pharaoh. And it was at this moment that Moses' faith became real. It became his own. Moses had to make a choice. Was he going to choose the pleasures of sin and the treasures of Egypt? Or was he going to choose the reproach of Christ and the oppressions of God's people? And Moses made the decision to turn from the pleasures of sin, to reject the things of this world, and in faith turn to Christ. I want you to listen to me. There are pleasures in sin, but they're always temporary. And there are riches and power and fame to be found in this world. But one day this world and everything in it will pass away. You see, you have to decide whether you're going to choose the temporary or the eternal. Will you choose the fleeting pleasures of sin or the forever joy of Jesus? Will you choose the earthly riches and power, or will you choose a heavenly crown and one day rule and reign with Christ? You see, we all one day will come to a moment of decision like Moses did. Will I choose Christ, or will I choose this world? And that one decision will forever change everything about you. For Moses, he lost a crown, but he gained an even greater crown. He lost a kingdom, but he discovered the one true king. Have you made a decision? Have you turned from sin? Have you turned from this world and in faith trusted Jesus to save you, not only from sin, but have you trusted him to guide and direct and lead your life? Now, hear me clearly. When we do that, it's not always easy. Moses chose to identify with Christ and Christ's people. Yet, unfortunately, you see, we can identify with Christ and still make unwise decisions. One day, Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And when Moses thought no one was looking, he killed that Egyptian. He tried to cover it up. But the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. And Pharaoh heard what Moses did, and Pharaoh sought to kill Moses. So Moses had to flee to Midian, which leads us to the third truth about faith. Our faith will persevere during our wilderness experiences. For 40 years, Moses lived in the wilderness of Midian. But it was in the wilderness that God prepared him to shepherd his people. It was in the wilderness that God humbled him and taught him to rely on God's power rather than his own power. And even though Moses probably had struggles, and even though he had doubts, he never took his eyes off of God. And when God felt he was ready, he revealed himself to him at that burning bush and sent him back to Egypt to lead his people to the land of promise. And you may be going through your own wilderness experience right now, but I can assure you, if you know the Lord, he is using the wilderness to mold you and make you and prepare you for what is next. So don't get discouraged. Don't lose hope. Persevere, remain faithful even in the wilderness. And hope and pray that it doesn't take 40 years like it took Moses. So Moses went back to Egypt and he did what God told him to do. He went to Pharaoh and he said, God said, let my people go. You know the story. Pharaoh said no, so God sent a series of plagues on Egypt. And the very last plague was the death of the firstborn son of every single family. But it wasn't just the death of the firstborn son. It was the death of every firstborn male, even of the animals. But God gave a way to be delivered. God said, when this angel of death comes, if you take a one-year-old goat or lamb and you slaughter that lamb and you take the blood and you put that blood on the doorpost of your house, when the angel of death comes, he will pass over your house. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, it says this: it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. This leads us to the fourth truth about faith. Our faith will compel us to tell others the way of salvation. Moses told the people how they and their family could escape death through the blood of the lamb, and the angel of death would pass over their house. But Passover, which was celebrated every year by the Jews, was just a picture of a Passover that would one day come that would take away sin and death forever. And that one day is when Jesus came. And Jesus, the Passover lamb, was slaughtered and hung on Calvary's cross for you and I. And just like the blood of that lamb put on the doorpost of the home would save the people when the angel of death came, the blood of Jesus would save each and every one of us who receive it into our lives. And Moses wanted every one of the Hebrews to know there is a way that you can be saved from the angel of death. And I believe with all my heart, when we by faith come to know Jesus, when we come to understand that it is only through the blood of Jesus, it's only through his mercy and grace that we can be saved, we want to tell everybody about Jesus. And so my question to you is, who have you told? And if you're not telling people on a regular basis, why not? Don't let fear keep you from telling people about Jesus. Don't believe the lie that sharing the gospel is only for pastors or people who are trained. The gospel is for everyone to share with everyone everywhere. It doesn't matter how young we are. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. If we've been saved, if the blood of Jesus has changed our life, we are to share that with other people. And so who are you sharing with? But there's one final thing we need to see about faith from the life of Moses, and that is often our faith will lead us into seemingly impossible situations. So Pharaoh let the Hebrews go, but it didn't take long for him to regret his decision. He gathered his army together, and he went after the Hebrews. And he caught up with them when the Red Sea was in front of them. So I want you to picture this. There was this large sea in front of them that they couldn't pass through, and there was an Egyptian army behind them. They were literally between a rock and a hard place, and they panicked. They were scared, and they were ready to just give up and go back to Egypt. But Moses said, "Don't be afraid. Stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you today." And boy, did God rescue them. God parted the Red Sea. The Hebrews walked through on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried to follow it, the sea came down on them and every one of them drowned. Listen, what looks like an impossible situation is only an opportunity for God to display his power in your life. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the faith of Moses. And I want the faith of Moses' parents. Parents, look at me. It's your responsibility to bring your kids to faith. It's your responsibility to help them grow in the faith and make them strong in the faith. God's got to do the work, but you've got to partner with God in doing it. Parents, grandparents, let's get busy. Let's don't lose our kids and our grandkids to the gods of this world. Let's don't throw them into the Nile to die. Let's let God do a work in their life. I want the faith of Moses. A faith that caused him to turn from the pleasures of sin and the riches of this world and accept the reproach of Christ. You see, salvation involves turning from sin. It involves turning from this world and then trusting Christ with our life, regardless of what it cost. Have you done that? Have you turned from sin and trusted Christ not only to save you, but have you trusted him with your life to guide, to lead, to direct your life? And then third, let's have the faith of Moses where we are so compelled by the story of redemption that we want everyone to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Let's tell others. Now, if you're here and you've never been saved, you've never turned from sin and trusted Jesus, then I would ask you today, why not? Why not? There's nothing about sin that is worth your eternal destiny. The pleasures of sin will disappear. The joy of Jesus will last forever. You say, well, I'm going to accept him one day. You may not have one day. If you were watching the news last night, they said that if that bullet would have been a millimeter or two closer, further in, President Trump would be dead. They said that if he would have not turned his head when he did, he would most likely be dead. Death was a millimeter or two away, a turn of the head away. Any one of us in this room could have a heart attack this moment and die. We could have a stroke or an aneurysm and we could be out and never wake up. We could leave the parking lot after church, turn on to 378 and be T-boned by a truck or a car, and breathe our last breath. We could get in bed tonight, drift off to sleep, never wake up. Death is that close. Oh, dear friend, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, don't wait. Don't procrastinate, because you may wait until it's too late. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. Our altar is going to be open. And if God's speaking to your heart, if he's tugging at you, don't stay in your seat. You come. Father God, this is your time. And ask you to have your way in each and every one of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You come. Don't wait on anyone.